Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, we're going to deep dive into a conversation that keeps with the theme regarding transportation, and this time around when it comes to bus transport services. More specifically so, from the likes of Intercape. Now, the long-distance bus company had appeared before the Portfolio Committee on Police just today in a desperate appeal to make sure that Parliament does compel police to act on stopping ongoing acts of violence and intimidation against the company, specifically on its long-haul trips. To tell us more, we're joined by the CEO of Intercape, Johan Ferreira. Mr. Ferreira, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good evening. It's such a pleasure to speak to you, sir. I can imagine it's been a very busy day for yourself and your colleagues and counterparts in Parliament. But before we talk about your visit to Parliament, maybe help us understand the operating environment for Intercape at the moment. What's the reality, lived reality, of your buses and staff on your long-haul trips?
Well, the lived reality is that we don't feel safe. I think that's the short answer. When I say we, I say the staff of Intercape, obviously the drivers, because they are in the cold face of all of this that we are talking about. And then secondly, the passengers, you know, the traveling public of South Africa. And when I say the traveling public, I would also say the public of South Africa. You know, we don't feel safe in South Africa anymore. This is just, you know, part of the problem. It's not the problem. You know, these attacks on luxury vehicles, carrying overseas tourists and locals traveling interprovincial, you know, it is a terrorist act carried out by the taxi associations and taxi operators. And government is standing idle. They don't speak out. In fact, they don't do nothing. And when you take them to court and there's a court instruction, a high court instruction, they try and appeal it. When they lose the appeal, and there's nowhere to go, mm-hmm. and they're in contempt of court, they still do nothing. So that and everything else has been explained to the Portfolio Committee today, the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee of the South African Police Force.
Got you.
So the Deputy President was present, and some of her police colleagues and so on and so forth. So there's nothing new here. This is old news. And still, you know, our buses are being stopped from loading, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, very recent, as recent as last week.
Got you. And maybe if I can jump in there.
Operators blocking the buses.
Ah, perfect. That's what we want to get more details on. Who is stopping you? How are they doing this? Are these violence acts of intimidation? What's the experience like of your employees?
Well, the taxi operators would show up at a specific bus stop, and it could be any bus stop. We had a big issue in the Eastern Cape where over 200 cases were reported. And, you know, the problem for me is that there were no arrests. The police told us today that there's 11 arrests made. But they were directed by the court to investigate and arrest, and they were directed by the court to report to Intercape and to the court about their progress. They had never done that. So they claim they made the arrest. I am not convinced until I see the evidence. Mm. And secondly, they have to put a plan together to protect these coaches. And, you know, all of this, all the intimidation, passengers prevented from entering buses being blocked by taxis, happens in plain sight of the police and nobody gets arrested. And that's a big problem, yeah. That the police do not have the power or they don't have the will to make arrests and to act against perpetrators. And South Africa and the South African public is going to pay a very high price in time to come, yeah. If this continues. It's already at unacceptable high levels.
It sounds as though there's a bigger theme to this. I see it's been dubbed as perhaps a transport mafia. And that raises concerns as to why police have not taken any action. Have you given...
Listen, I can say it short. It's the taxi operators and associations in South Africa has got police, traffic and government in their pocket. That's the short answer. And I dare anyone to prove me wrong. Because there can be no reason why a president wouldn't protect his constituents. Mm. The people of the Eastern Cape is the ANC constituent. Mm. Why would he not protect the man in the street? Why would he not speak out? Why would he fight me in a court when I say, please, Mr. President, please, Mr. Minister of Police, protect my company and all the other people traveling, 80 passengers per bus. And they say, no, we're not going to protect you, not our job. They literally say that. Get private security to you know, sort out their problem. That's not an answer. And the court told the police categorically, constitutionally, according to the constituency of South Africa, constitutional bill, they are obliged to protect the citizens of South Africa, which they don't. So, you know, we have a serious issue. Really serious issue here.
It is a serious issue. And as you've mentioned, this has been happening for quite some time now. Your words were, this is nothing new. But I'm keen to also understand what the financial impact has been on your business. And maybe even in terms of staff turnover, if you have colleagues and employees who are just too scared to operate.
Look, I was asked by a previous radio interviewer, I think it was 702, he said to me, you know, why are you not selling the company or closing it down and just move on? I said to him, where to? So the same for the staff, you know, where do they move to? It's nowhere safe in South Africa. You know, South Africa has become a very dangerous place. And yes, we've seen now some people left to America, and there's a big hoo-ha about it, and people say, well, they, you know, they shouldn't go and they should stay here and sort things out. I'm staying here and I'm trying to sort things out with zero success. Even with court interdicts, even with government being in contempt of court. Now, that's not a way to sort things out locally. So we've seen what government can do if they put their mind, money and will to it. Then they can take Israel to and Netanyahu to a world court. And they can play on the world stage and make comments and entertain world leaders. But what about the man in the street? What about the taxpayer? Why don't charity begins at home? Why is Ramaphosa not coming to Intercape or the Eastern Cape or to the normal citizens that gets murdered, raped and attacked on a daily basis? That's the answer that I want from him.
100%. And completely agree with you, because the safety of our citizens should be and is a number one priority that needs to be acted on and fulfilled. But now that you've made your appeal before the Portfolio Committee on Police this Wednesday, the 14th of May, what happens now?
Yes. Well, the police has made certain statements in terms of what they've done, what they're doing and what they're still going to do. And this is now under oath in this parliamentary committee. We're going to make a summary of this, and we're going to send it to Ian Cameron, which is the chairman. I'm going to tell his committee to hold the feet of the police to the fire. That he must take responsibility in terms of making sure that the police adhere to at the very least of what they have said under oath they are doing, going to do, and have done. Then there is still the matter of the court order and adherence to the court order, which they have not fulfilled. And that's another matter, but that's contempt of court. But in this instance, we're going to hold the committee, because for me, this is a human rights issue. As far as I'm concerned, government has failed to protect its citizen. It's a human rights issue for me about South Africa and the incompetence of the police and the investigative directorate. They failed to investigate, they failed to arrest, they failed to put the perpetrators behind bars. And that, for me, is a violation of this most basic right in South Africa, and that's the right of safety and security.
Mr. Ferreira, what can we do as consumers and maybe users of your transportation services?
You know, I think at some point in time, the public of South Africa is going to get fed up, and they're going to... Look, the ANC is losing support, you know, year on year. We can see that. I mean, they managed to grow this organization from a major majority to a minority. And if they carry on this way, they will not be in power. So, you know, the only thing that we can do is we can speak up like I do. We can take action like I do. And then hopefully cast our vote for somebody that has the backbone to say enough is enough. And act on behalf of the people of South Africa, not paying lip service and, you know, on play on world stage, You know, the people in South Africa got nothing to do with the world stage. They want to know where their food is coming from next. That's what they want.
100%. Mr. Ferreira, we look forward to hearing further updates from you in the months to come. And hopefully there'll be a positive outcome to this concern, as it does,
you.
As you say, impact the South African citizenry. All the best going forward, sir.
100%. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Johan Ferreira, CEO of Intercape Bus Services there, helping us understand their constant appeals, essentially for the police to intervene and provide a heightened level of security to the ongoing intimidation that long-haul buses like Intercape continue to face from various players within the public transport space, specifically, in his words, the taxi associations.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.